Page 125, I'm going to start off with chapter 11. I want to cover some more ground. I want to start getting to what an alliance is and the purpose of why an alliance is, what an alliance is and why is it different than an association, or why it's different than just a casual coming together. If you look at the very first, on page 125, at the definition, which is the second paragraph, you're kind of long, but it's good for us to go through this and break this down, because it's, we can understand how, why covenant is so important. Let me get to Isaiah, because we'll do a lot of reading in Isaiah, the 30th chapter. You can turn there also. Here we see on page 125 the definition of an alliance. An alliance is a strategic collaboration of a synergized network of kingdom partners in a common destiny to extend their global reach with an entrepreneurial approach for sustainable competitive advantage and cutting-edge influence to impact the nation. Now, a very long definition, but in a nutshell, what an alliance is people coming together to accomplish the will of God. That's what it is. People coming together to accomplish the will of God. I'm going to get into this a little more next year with you when we start talking about the soul, and you're going to really enjoy that class, because you're going to discover a lot about your soul that you didn't know existed. But to give you a little synopsis of it, because it's going to go with what I'm saying about an alliance, you could become anybody you want to become. I'll never forget, a couple of years ago, I was watching an interview with Jamie Foxx, and he made this statement. He was talking about his Oscar. He had won the Academy Award. Yeah, the Academy Award for Ray. The role he played for Ray. And during the interview, he made a statement, after he won the Oscar and all that, they interviewed him maybe about a year later. He said it's been taking him, ever since that time he got the Oscar, it took him 2 years after finishing the movie Ray to get out of that character. Took him 2 years. He said he would wake up in the morning walking like Ray, like we see him in the movie, walking, talking. Even it began to manifest in his real life in dealing with other people. He began, instead of dealing with them like Jamie Foxx, he would deal with them like Ray. And a few weeks ago, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you could become anybody you want to become. And then he brought me back to that interview. Actors do it all day long. They read, watch this, listen to what I'm about to say. They read a script so much. They read a script so much that they become that. This is why the Word of God is so important, because the Word of God is our script. It's our script. And watch this. Three examples. One, the Bible says, I'm the Lord thy God, I change not, right? Another scripture. It says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall stand forever. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter, it says, Jesus Christ is saying what? Today. Yesterday, today, and forever. That's three witnesses that God, his word, and Jesus don't change. Right? So when we read the word of God, Romans 12, 1 and 2, we renew our minds with the word of God so that we can prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When we do that, it puts us in a position to where we don't change with every wind that come along. All right. So when God gives us instructions, if we keep reminding ourselves of those instructions, it doesn't matter what outside influences come in. It cannot deter us from what God has called us to do. This is why the last couple of weeks we've been talking about the different aspects of covenant, what's the purpose of covenant, what strengthens the covenant, because we're constantly getting influences from the outside that will come against what God has called us to do. That's why you read in Romans, in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, it says you have to cast down every what? Imagination, what that is, thought that tries to exalt itself against the what? The knowledge. Knowledge is his word. So when you have a word from God, when you study the word of God, you're renewing your mind, outside influences can't come affect what you've been instructed to do. Is this making sense? Because what I'm trying to get you to see is that an alliance is the coming together of a group of people to accomplish the will of God, and Satan's objective is to cause havoc and to cause discord and to cause distractions. This is why we have to focus our lives on the word of God, because that script never changes. Even if outside influences come in and try to adjust how we think, that's what the word of God is for, us to take what we're thinking and compare it to the word of God. I hope you listen to that, internet. Compare it to the word of God. Therefore, we can make a just, we can make a righteous decision on what our next move is. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because you will not, Satan, our will is the only thing that God won't mess with. God won't mess with your will. Matter of fact, go to Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. And we'll come back to Isaiah. Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. Watch this. verse 14. This is Apostle Paul in his prayer for the Ephesians. Notice what he said in verse 14. He said, "For this cause, for this reason, for this purpose, I bow my knees unto the Lord, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I need you to understand the significance of this. This is just not a general prayer Paul is praying. Paul said, "For this cause, I bow my knees." In other words, he's getting a complete reverence when he's praying this prayer. This is how important it is for Paul to pray this prayer to God. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Verse 16 is very important. And I want you to see this not in a religious or denominational way. I want you to see this in a revelatorial way. All right. So although what I'm saying is I'm not really concerned about what you have heard, I'm only concerned about what you're about to hear right now. All right. That's what I mean by that. "That he," meaning God, "would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the what? In a man." That is not talking about your spirit. That is not talking about your spirit. In the past, you might have thought they were talking about your spirit, but that is not talking about your spirit. It don't take much to figure that out, because all you got to do is go to the Greek. And you see the Greek for this simply means the soul or your conscience. So Paul is bowing down on his knees in reverence to God, that we might be strengthened with might by his spirit in our soul. Watch this. "That Christ may dwell in your," what? Hearts. Your soul. See, what you must understand, go to Genesis 1. Genesis 1. Because I want to ease your mind about some stuff. Ease your mind about your spirit. Ease your mind. People are always trying to work on their spirit. No, that ain't what you need to be working on. Because what happens is your mind is the place where Satan gets footholds in your life. The mind is where he gets the foothold in your life. So he constantly having outside influences come and try to feed you anything that will cause you to walk away from what. And I'm not, watch this. And I'm not talking about major sins. I'm talking about he'll make you mad at your spiritual leader for something your spiritual leader said. I've seen it happen. People get mad because apostle make one statement. Apostle, I never forget. Apostle was ministering, I forgot where it was, and he made a statement. He said, I pray, if you don't see this, I pray that God heal you of your glaucoma. Right? He was talking about the revelation. He was talking about it's so simple to see. And I pray to God. Had a gentleman who really wasn't paying attention to the message came upset. Because he said, why Dr. Thompson got to be talking about me? Why you got to be talking about me? I got glaucoma. I said, man, listen, I apologize if you got offended, but Dr. Thompson don't know you. But Satan, do you see that? Satan will take anything and use it to get you in offense. Offense comes through your soul so you can't hear the truth. Are you seeing this? So this is why Paul is saying, I pray that you be strengthened with might by his spirit in your inner man. All right, watch this. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be what? Rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded. Rooted and grounded means ain't too much going to come shake me up. Ain't too much going to detour me off of what God has called me to do. Ain't too much going to pull me away from who God has connected me to. That Paul said that this for this cause, I bow my knees that you be strengthened with might. Not in your spirit, in your inner man. Let me tell you something about your spirit. Y'all in Genesis 1, right? Genesis 1, 26. We all know this scripture. We all memorize it. We know this, but I want you to read it because I want you to see this. Go ahead and read it. All right, hold up. We talked about this before. God said, let us make man in our image, right? Remember, I don't know if you remember, last week we read John 4, 1 John 4, where it said no man has seen God, right? So that scripture can't be talking about physical appearance. Nobody has seen God. So if we're made in the image of God, and the Bible also says that God is a spirit. Those that worship him, those worship him in spirit and in, right? So God is a spirit. So it got to mean that God made us in his image, made our spirits in his image. Now, if let's think of an image. An image comes from a reflection, mirror. You get up in the morning, you get up and brush your teeth, wash your face, you know, comb your hair, whatever. You see an image in the mirror. That image is you, a reflection of you. So God said, let us make man in our image. So we are a reflection of God, right? Our spirit is a reflection of God's spirit. So if our spirit is a reflection of God's spirit, nothing is wrong with our spirit. Because for something to be wrong with our spirit, so nothing is wrong with your spirit. But the reason why Jesus had to come down the cross and be buried and be resurrected is because he had to get our soul reconnected to our spirit. Are you with me? So it's not our spirit that has to be worked on. It's our soul. Because our spirit. All right. Go to Psalms 139. I need you to see this. Psalms 139. I know I'm taking a little longer than I need to on this, because when we start going into this alliance, and one of the alliance means it's a commitment, and the commitment goes beyond our understanding. Mm-hmm. It goes beyond our physical understanding. It goes beyond how we feel. Right. It goes beyond what we think ought to happen. Mm-hmm. See, if we knew what was supposed to happen, God wouldn't have connected to somebody who knows what's going to happen. Are you seeing this? Watch what you turn. Psalm 139. Watch this. Psalms 139. This is Old Testament, right? 139. Let's see. Psalm 139. Psalms 139, verse 14. This is David writing in the Old Testament. All right. Verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well, right? My substance was not hid from thee. When I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book were all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, as when as they were yet was none of them. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. What David was saying was, when he got to that part where he says 15, my substance was not hid from thee. When I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written. What David was saying is, David was simply saying, I was there when you made me. So watch this now. Watch this. This is Old Testament. So David is saying, my spirit was there when you made me. Are you seeing this? So now, if David's spirit was there when God made him, that means that when David took on his soul had to catch up. So the purpose of salvation is to help your soul catch up to your spirit. That's what it means, that before you became born again, you were dead to God. But after you got born again, you became alive unto him, which means your conscience now is reconnected to your God-created spirit, and now you can reach your full potential. Are you seeing this? So the way Satan understands how this works, so what Satan tried to do is get your conscience to be disconnected from your spirit. And the way he gets your conscience disconnected from your spirit is to play with your mind. So you get offense. So you get away from what God has called you to do. I hope you listen to that, Internet. Do y'all see this? Because when we start talking about covenant, you have to be prepared to be rooted and grounded in love, because we're dealing with humans. And humans sometimes hard to deal with. So we can't let how humans behave affect how we behave. The only thing that affects our behavior is our script. This is why, go to Luke 21. Luke 21, this is how I train myself. This is how I train myself to deal with everything and everybody. Luke 21, 19. Luke 21, 19, this is Jesus talking. What he says? In your patience, possess ye your soul. So therefore, I train myself that I'm not going to just react. I'm going to respond. Are you seeing this? I grab my mind. I tell it, shut up. Do not get disengaged from your spirit. Give your spirit a chance to overwrite. I always have to deal with computers one way or the other. You know, we've come a long way. We've come along from floppy disk to CD-ROM. Now we got flash drives, and now we got the cloud. All right. All those devices are technically advanced, but they do one thing. They all save information. And one of the wonderful things about all those things, when you can do it, is you can erase and overwrite. Your brain works the same way. It stores information. So you have to take the word of God and overwrite. So now, when I'm facing situations, when I possess my soul, I'm allowing my soul to be overridden. Are y'all seeing this? So therefore, when I do act or I do respond, I'm responding from the word of God and not from me. Is this making sense? So now you begin. So now you know how you can deal with change. You can deal with shifts. Yes, sir. You can deal with halting. You can deal with speeding up. You can deal when seasons change. Because now, one thing that does not change in all those things is the Word of God. So as long as I stick with the Word of God, for instance, there's nothing that an apostle can do to me that will cause me to walk away from him. That's just me now. That's me. Why? Because because my mind is made up. I know what God has told me, so I keep reminding myself what God has said. So when I remind myself what God has said, anything that comes into my thought process or into my life that tries to be contrary to try to make me do something other than what God has called me to do, I automatically know I can override it. Mm-hmm. And it comes from my will. Right. See, some people have weak wills. Just weak. Just anything come along, they just cave in. You have to strengthen, the way you strengthen your will is with the Word of God. Go to Hebrews, the 5th chapter. I'm taking more time than I wanted to take, but Hebrews, the 5th chapter. Hebrews, the 5th chapter. Verse 13. Let's go to verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as having need of milk and not of strong meat. This is a level of maturity, and it's talking about the will. Verse 13. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason, where you reason at? In your soul. Your reason not in your spirit. Your reason is in your soul. Who by reason of use have their what? Senses. Exercised. Senses. Exercised. Senses exercised. Your senses have been exercised. That means they have been trained. They have gone through some strenuous testing. So watch this. Your senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We're not even talking about your spirit discerning it. We're talking about your senses. That means your senses have been trained with the Word of God so much to where your spirit don't have to kick in for you to know right from wrong. Your spirit don't have to kick in to recognize foolishness when you see it. Watch this. Your spirit don't have to kick in to recognize foolishness even when it look like it ain't foolishness. Are you seeing this? So your will, you training your will, you have to train your will. Go to Romans 12. God is not going to train your will. Remember now, you can become who you want to become. But it's you going to have to train your will to become that. Now watch how many times Paul emphasized you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You, not God, you. You. So in order for you to do these things, you have to be engaged. You have to be engaged to the Word of God. You can't be disengaged. You can't just float through life, or float through Sunday morning, float through Wednesday night, float through this school without being engaged in the Word of God. Are y'all seeing this? The Word of God has got to affect your thought pattern. The Word of God has got to affect your thought life. The Word of God has to be hidden in your what? Heart. Why the Word of God has to be hidden in your heart? What? Ain't that what the Bible say, huh? So that means sin don't originate in your spirit, it originates in your heart. In your soul. Because why it originates in your soul? Because that's where Satan comes. Satan does not have access to your spirit. He only has access to your soul. So your will, you have to be strength. You have to strengthen your will. That's why Paul prayed that prayer in Ephesians 3. That you be strengthened with might in your inner man. Go back to Ephesians 3. Let's finish reading this. I want you to see something. Watch this, Ephesians 3. Right, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. What comprehension takes place? The soul. That you may be able to comprehend with all saints, which is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes your knowledge. So this is why you got to renew your mind with the Word of God, because when you attach yourself to an apostolic house where God is moving, there's some things that are going to happen that's going to be past your knowledge. Just because it passes your knowledge don't mean you tuck and run. Doesn't mean because I don't understand it, I'm walking away from this. Are you seeing this? Because Satan will come and try to play with you. Well, I don't understand why Apostle did that. I don't understand why Pastor did that. I don't understand why she did that. I just don't understand why he did that. Well, you're not going to understand everything. But you have to go back to what God told you to do. Because when you go back to what God told you to do, who you're supposed to be connected to, if you stay there long enough, understanding will come. Is that making sense? That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20. This is important. Now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we what? Ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Do you know what that power is? That power is your will. That power is talking about your will. Say, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So when my will is set like a flint to go after God and to do what God is telling me to do, not play church. See, there's a difference between going to church and being the church. So you got a lot of people that are going to church. But when you be the church, that means that you got some investment in the kingdom of God. You got some skin, what they call skin in the game. You know, I want to see that this happens just as bad as Pastor want this to happen. I want this to happen just as bad as Apostle want this to happen. I want this to happen just as bad as Dr. So-and-so or Sister So-and-so wants this to happen. I have skin in the game. So therefore, when I'm set like a flint, that's when God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think. See, God ain't trying to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think if we're not committed to what he wants. Think about it now. Let's think about this. Think about this. If you was to get everything you want without no requirements, would you stay around? And the answer is no. I can answer it for you. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. Because there's no demand being made. There's no responsibility being placed on you. And that's how people see God. But that's not how God operates. How I know that God don't operate like that? We see it from the first two people in the Bible. God gave them everything. They had everything. They had everything. As soon as they ate their fruit, or rather made that decision, which is more made that decision and acted upon it, God said, oh, you can't stay here like that. You got to go. Are y'all seeing this? So there, from the beginning, now watch, the only thing that God would not mess with was their will. That's why he put that tree of knowledge, good and evil, in the garden. He didn't hide it. He didn't put barbed wire around it. He didn't put an electric fence around it. He left it in the open so they can decide. This is why, thank you, Holy Spirit. This is why the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians that Christ may dwell in your hearts, that ye be what? Rooted and grounded in what? In love. Because if that tree had not been there, they would have had no choice. And when you don't have a choice, you're forced. When you're forced, you're not operating in love. You're a slave. Are you seeing this? So this is why Paul prayed this prayer, that you be rooted and grounded in love, that Christ may dwell in your hearts, that you be rooted and grounded in love, so that you can make those decisions no matter what outside influences come in. So now you have God's word, outside influence. So now, because I love God so much, I'm able to make a decision based on what he's asking me to do, not these outside influences. Is this making sense? And see, when you stick with the word of God, oh my God, go to John, the 10th chapter. This is why it's important that you spend time with God daily, because you can't love somebody who you don't know. You can't fall in love with somebody you don't know. You can't fall in love with somebody you don't spend time with. You have to spend time with that person. You have to spend time with them. You have to talk to them. You have to question them. You have to let them question you. You got to find out what their goals are. They have to find out what your goals are. What they need. Are you getting what I'm saying? Then you begin to develop an attraction. You fall in love. You can't fall in love with God if you don't know who he is. Watch this, John the 10th chapter. Verse 27, he said, Jesus talking, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He said, my sheep hear my voice. Those that follow me will hear my voice. Those that spend time with me will be able to recognize my voice. If you don't spend time with God, you can't recognize his voice. Now watch this. If I got to recognize his voice, that means his voice not going to sound the same all the time. That's why God said, Apostle Paul said in Romans 12:2, you have to be not conformed to the world, be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may be able to prove or recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Recognize it. Other words, you can see where God is moving. You can hear a man or a woman of God speak, and you can tell if that's God or not. Why? Because you spend time with God. See, the greatest example I can give you is understanding my understanding of music. I can't sing. I can't play. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. Nothing. But I know good singing when I hear it. I I know good singing. Why? Because I've been exposed to somebody who can sing. So when you expose somebody who can sing and somebody who can't sing come along. So when I'm exposed to the word of God consistently. I don't have to be an apostle. I don't have to be a prophet, pastor, teacher, or evangelist. I don't have to be none of them. Because I spend time with God, I can recognize. Because my mind is renewed. Are you seeing this? So therefore, thank you, Holy Spirit. So therefore, I can follow and I can follow the instruction of God and get connected to a man or woman of God who's further advanced in me without being intimidated. Right? Because I can hear if they're following God or not. I can recognize they're following God or not. Why? Because I'm following, because I'm spending time with God. Are you seeing this? So therefore, you don't have to wonder, when you spend time with God, you don't have to be fearful and becoming covenant connected. You don't have to be fearful and coming into covenant with your spiritual leader. Because you spending time with God, you'll be able to recognize, am I leader following God? So I ain't got no problem coming into covenant. I ain't got no problem coming into the lines. I ain't got no problem. Watch this. I got no problem if my leader trying to hear God make a turn and we go down the wrong street. I ain't got no problem with that. Because I know that they eventually going to hear from God and we turn back going the other way. Is this making sense? Because Satan will use those little bitty things to get. I've seen so many people tripped up because they don't like what their leader said. They don't like what their leader has done. And they, well, okay, where you say we ought to go? And I want to know because I'm looking at your life. Where do we go? Is this making sense? Yes, sir. So this is why you have to renew your mind with the word of God so that Satan can't play the same. He has no new game. Right. It's nothing new. Nothing new. He used the same thing he used with Adam and Eve. He started making suggestions. Sometimes he used people. Sometimes he uses family. Are you seeing? And so therefore, when you have your mind renewed with the word of God. Now, when I'm talking about your mind renewed with the word of God, not just the logos that you read, but you remind yourself what God told you to do. I remind myself consistently what God told me to do concerning my apostle. I remind myself. Now remember, this is what God told you to do. I don't need nobody else to remind me. I remind myself. I encourage myself. I stir up the gift that's in me. Are you seeing this? Because it's my will. It's my choice. This is what I decide to do. Are you seeing this? So when you renew your mind with the word of God, when you constantly renew your mind with the word of God, when you constantly read the word, you get to know who he is and you fall in love with him. When you fall in love with him, you can recognize who walking with him. You can recognize who he's using. See, they recognize, we talked about this, they recognize God was with David. I mean, wasn't nobody else coming out killing no giants? There wasn't just a giant slayer on every corner. No, this Goliath had come out there talking noise repeatedly. And all of a sudden, David, watch this. David had to kill a bear, kill a lion. David come out there, who is this uncircumcised Philistine talking to us people who have a covenant? So when David did that, they all recognized that God was with him. And so in 1 Samuel 22, you see they joined themselves to him. They was in debt, discontentment. Are you seeing this? And you find those same people in 2 Chronicles giving like David was giving. They had strong wills. They didn't let anything come along and trip them up for what they had committed to. Remember now, when I'm closing here, and we ain't even get to Isaiah 30. Because I want you to see this, because as we start getting into this 11th chapter, it starts taking your commitment to another level. Mm-hmm. And this commitment is going to a level in which our society has not seen. Our society hadn't seen this. Why? Because the apostolic hadn't really been present as protection to do this. We were dealing with just pastors. When there was nobody to give apostolic instructions. So when you renew your mind, when you renew your mind with the word of God, it causes you to have a Hebrew, I think it's 13 and 8, where Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It says, God says, I'm the Lord thy God, and those in the Old Testament, and I change not. Then I think it's in the gospel, it says, heaven and earth shall pass away. I think it is. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall stand forever. When you have God talking to you, God speaking to you, you reading his word, he ain't changing. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Everything else is going to pass away, but his word will stand forever. So that's the only thing that we have in our lives that's not changing. So when we renew our minds with the word of God, we're actually strengthening our will with something that ain't going to waver. Last scripture, Ephesians 4. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the what? Perfecting or maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14. What it means to come into the... What does it mean to come into the stature of the fullness of Christ? What does that mean? Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning and craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him, in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supply. Your part being played. Why your part being played? Because you're not being cared about by every wind of doctrine. You're not letting anything just come in and change your course of action. Change your course of thought. Change how you behave. Every joint supplied, verse 16, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Are you seeing this? People who don't renew their minds with the word of God is going to be carried about with every wind of doctrine. All wind of doctrine simply means, just don't mean teaching, it's talking about thoughts. Every thought. I ain't even get to it. Ephesians 6, verse 15, where it says, taking on the shield of what? Shield of faith, which will quench. Do you know what it's actually saying? Take on the shield of faith. Remember we first started this class in September, what I remember faith was? What I said faith was, you replace it with an assignment. So taking the protection of my assignment, it will quench all the thoughts. So if Satan comes to me with a thought that causes me contrary to my assignment, so when I get from out of my assignment, I'm no longer under the shield. So the shield of my assignment is able to quench all the fiery darts or the thoughts that Satan is sending towards me. So that's why I have to remind myself what God has said to me. I have to renew my mind with the word of God so I don't conform. I transform. I'm not conformed. I'm being transformed. I was an old creature. Now I'm a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. So when I get in my new way, that means all the fiery thoughts that Satan tried to shoot at me, trying to get me to drag up the old way. If I'm in my assignment, all those thoughts are quenched immediately. When I'm where I'm supposed to be, when I'm connected to who I'm supposed to be connected to, Satan can send whatever he want. I'm not changing. I'm not leaving. I'm not going nowhere. Until I get this, because what don't change? The word of God doesn't change. So if my situation is not going the way I wanted to go, when I stick with the word of God is going to change my. I'll see y'all next week.